Shalom, most precious saints of God. I'm Reverend Sheila Crawford of Shofar Ministries. Thanks for tuning in as we begin tonight with some news. I continue to stand by what I've been saying, that the peace deal Kerry is trying to succeed in between Israel and the Palestinians is going nowhere. And the PLO chairman Abbas now says he wants control over the Western Wall too. Oh, he says, but of course the Jews can continue to pray there. Well, you can just gag me with a spoon, really? It's obvious to me, just like with Arafat in the year 2000, they really don't want it to work. And it will take a high-ranking third party to come to what we all know will just be a temporary false agreement anyway. But I still believe that the Pope could fill that billing. And, as talk has it, should be stepping in very soon. We must have some deal in writing for the clock to start ticking to fulfill the final 7 years of Daniel's prophecy. It's a real cliffhanger, saints, and better than any novel. Oh, yeah, the Bible is better than any novel I've ever read. So, let's keep our eyes watching while witnessing, witnessing, witnessing. In other news, battles rage on in Syria, in the Sinai, and now Venezuela is experiencing some violent protesting, supposedly over gas hikes and other things, brought on by Hugo Chavez's replacement, President Maduro, who has just expelled 3 United States consular officials who he accused of visiting Venezuelan universities to recruit students to organize anti-government protests. I wonder if maybe that isn't true. For the first time, several Iranian warships have journeyed to the United States coastline in the Atlantic Ocean in response to U.S. naval deployments near Iran's coastlines based in Bahrain. The Iranians are certain the United States will not strike at their naval deployment for fear of disrupting the ongoing nuclear talks that are also going nowhere. So last week marked the 35th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. Hundreds of thousands of Iranians turned out on the streets to mark this special occasion. Many denounced America as the great Satan. Others shouted, "Death to Israel," who they say is the little Satan. Well, the fall of the Shah of Iran in 1979 and then the rise of the Ayatollah Khomeini, now it's Ayatollah Khamenei, two different people, was a game-changing moment in the modern history of the Middle East. You know, Iran was once a friend and ally of the United States, and they were even covertly allied with Israel, but suddenly shifted to a serious enemy. Not a big surprise to Bible buffs who knew that Persia, or Iran, from Ezekiel 38, had to turn hostile. Once again, the Bible tells it first. But it started with the seizure of our embassy and taking our diplomats hostage for 444 days. But it has grown much worse over time. Iran has been implicated in killing Americans and all over the world, but in Beirut bombing of our marine barracks and at the foreign housing quarters at the Khobar Towers in Saudi Arabia, where 19 of our U.S. troops were killed. They have funded, trained, and armed terror groups around the world. Now they are actively developing a nuclear weapons program, even as the world refuses to take better decisive action to stop them. But just when sanctions might have seemed to be slowing them down, Obama steps in, desiring to get better press due to his disaster of Obamacare and the ongoing Benghazi scandal, begins to lift Iran's sanctions, and then even threatens to veto any new ones. It's obvious this is not just one man making these warlike decisions. Like I've been asking, Who is pulling Obama's puppet strings? Well, for those of you who regularly listen to this program, you already know what I think. And I think tonight's program will open your eyes even more as to who our enemy really is, which is why I continue to ask, are you anxiously awaiting Jesus' return? If you are, there is a special crown waiting just for you in heaven, for the main reason that you're looking for his appearing, so says 2 Timothy in chapter 4, and longing to escape what's coming, like Jesus says that we can do in Luke 21. Well, praise the Lord. We here at Shofar Ministries want to help you stay focused on his plan. So please keep us in your prayers that we can remain on the air. And to do that, we do need your help. And by the way, next Thursday, the 27th, I will be teaching on the Counter-Reformation with lots of revealing pictures to show you. That's at Lakeshore Assembly of God, 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard in Mentor. Starts at 7. Now, don't move that dial or your mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Shalom, Chavarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as WHKWradio.com. This is John Bartlett, your co-host. So glad you could join us tonight. We have a special listener tonight, Miss Mallory. We're glad you joined us. And we're going to take a closer look tonight at who we're really fighting against in these final days before the rapture, who or what. Before Yeshua returns to set up his kingdom. But before we get started tonight, we want to pray, of course. We want to start out by thanking our Father in heaven. Abba, we thank you for your faithfulness, your love, your provision, and your presence that remarkably always is with us here on this program. And tonight, along with a request from a listener for some help selling some property, we want to lift up to you our unsaved loved ones, friends, and many of these friends of ours are Catholic. But we want to lift them up to you, Lord, that you would open their eyes, help them to see the truth of your word and recognize the enemy's false teachings. Only you can draw them. And we also want to lift up many of the specific needs that come to us throughout the weeks. Lord, we know in your mercy that you will answer our prayer and you take care of all our needs without fail. You are so faithful. And we bless you tonight and thank you in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen and shalom to you as well, John. I want to remind our listeners that the lines are always open for your in-time questions. 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD.
And remember, if you missed any previous shows, don't worry. You can go to shofarministries.net, and there they are all archived.
And if you don't have a computer, the libraries are full of them, and they will help you.
That's true.
So anyway, there really is a wealth of information there, and I hope that you choose to use it.
Yeah, because even knowledge is a choice.
Oh, yeah, you can choose to be stupid. Truly, you can want to be smart or you can be, you know.
I know. Okay. I've made that decision so, at different points in my life, yes.
Yes, I know. Me too. Anyway, I want to be smart now, so I'm just like a sponge. I'm trying to get as much information as I can.
Yes.
But I really need to start off tonight by making a comment about a caller that we had last week who was not able to come on the air, but did tell our producer that he thought that I was the Antichrist because Jesus began the church. So how could I refer that the leader of the Catholic Church could be the false prophet or the Antichrist? And I just have to say that Jesus did not start the pagan church. He started the real believers that accept his finished work on the cross and not of any works of our own that we might boast about it. Nor did he ever create the worship of Mary or talking to dead people or going to a priest for absolution or purgatory to pay for your sins sins which denies that Jesus paid the full price. And of course, he hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, according to Revelation 2, which is elevating hierarchy as having special powers like transubstantiation.
Mm-hmm. And we read just a few of some abominable quotes from a few of those popes last week.
That's right.
It was startling to hear.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's so unbelievable that I absolutely understand why it takes long sometimes for people to finally come to grips with it. I understand totally, because it took me a long time as well.
Well, you have to get over the shock first of what you're hearing.
I know. It is shocking.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you have to look at the
power behind it.
Power behind it. Thank you, John. But precious people out there, you better wake up before it's too late. And in the name of Jesus, I come against that lying spirit that's telling you not to listen to the truth. Precious Catholics, and others too, of course, turn to the true and living Christ and save your soul.
You know, if you do your own homework, the evidence is all there.
Yes, there's plenty of it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty.
Plenty.
Just don't believe what any one person tells you, not even myself. I'm going to give you some hints so that you can be stirred up, so that you can actually do your own homework. But the Vatican, with its Jesuit secret army, has been involved in world politics, much intrigue, the fomenting of most all of the wars, and is not a true Christian church, and never was, and instead has betrayed the poor Catholic people who are facing spiritual disaster, as I was.
Mm.
Again, until my hairdresser kept witnessing and would not give up. But I was stubborn, too. And again, I do know how you feel. Just let it go and receive the truth. And I'm telling you, it will surely set you free.
And that's free indeed. It's the joy unspeakable.
That's right.
That the Bible
Amen.
Talks about.
Okay, let's continue tonight's program. In case you haven't noticed, you know, America has been under a covert attack since its inception by spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places.
Right, Sheila. I didn't know that until we started doing that. But you're absolutely right. Ever since this country was founded. And I recall that the Illuminati was started also in 1776,
mm-hmm.
the same year that we declared our independence from Britain.
That's right. And so it says 1776 on the dollar bill. And some wonder, is it really our independence or is it for the Illuminati, since they have the pyramid and the all-seeing eye on there?
You would think that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not far-fetched.
I know.
If you would have said that a couple of years ago,
I would
have said that's really far-fetched, but not anymore.
Well, anyway, it's not the people. Again, please, I love Catholic people. Honestly, that it just, my heart goes out to them, and that's why I'm doing this, so that they can look for the truth. And again, it's the forces behind these people,
mm-hmm.
and they possess the souls of certain people.
Yeah,
like
John Wilkes Booth, I believe.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All vile acts of wickedness come from the demonic influence,
mm-hmm.
and these evil entities are extremely crafty and shrewd. Sometimes you can recognize them easily because of obvious manifestations. And they do that on purpose as well, so that you'll think, well, this person doesn't have a demon because I don't see any manifestations. So they make sure that the manifestations were always there. So that's what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But often you cannot tell, for they have disguised themselves as self-righteous do-gooders.
Mm-hmm.
Who pervert the gospel and promote a different Jesus.
And we just underline that word different,
mm-hmm.
because it is.
It
does not resemble the Jesus in the Gospels. Excuse me, I'm so sorry. You know, unfortunately, without the truth of God's word firmly implanted in a person's mind, deception is easily maintained.
Absolutely. And although the United States has been facing this deadly enemy for decades, because the enemy doesn't like the United States. And we started out right, and of course, Because things are going downhill now, but
we're free. We're a free people. We started out with the idea that the people choose the leaders, and we have freedom. But this is what the enemy does not want. The enemy hates freedom.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, I do want to mention too that there's always been a remnant who have known the deeper truths, who God has enlightened to recognize certain evil people.
Mm-hmm.
I think now at this time, God has opened even wider that enlightenment. For it seems to me many more are starting to recognize the fruits of this, of the ugly labors of these undermining spirits that are undermining the principles that have made this country the greatest nation in the world.
Yeah, it's demonic power. And this enemy, is organized.
It's organized, definitely, and has the capability for massive espionage and clandestine operations. I'd even say it uses a facade that is virtually perfect to hide its operations by infiltrating the highest levels and departments of our own government,
mm-hmm.
posing, of course, then an extreme danger to America.
Yeah, and that's what we're seeing today. Our country's unfortunate, highly organized, highly orchestrated.
Decay.
It's orchestrated decay.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we here at Shofar Ministries have joined a class of a few who have been trying to expose by bringing to the light the main goals that these elite and well-funded societies who answer to one grand master are achieving.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last year, and still more recently, we have covered the Jesuits' main goal from its inception, which was in 1540.
Yes, and that was to counter the Reformation of 1517.
Very good.
And it ticked them off then, and it still is today.
Uh-huh. Yes. Mm-hmm. And they have been trying ever since to bring everyone back into the one world religion of the Dark Ages.
Mm-hmm.
And that Evangelical and Catholics Together Act is called the ECT Act. I think that was in the late 80s and early 90s,
mm-hmm.
Played a big role in this now soon coming fulfillment. And of course, the other thing was, remember, Pope John the 23rd, I think it was, had that massive get together with all the different religions and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Let's all hold hands.
We all worship the same God.
Yeah, we're all on the same team. Let's all hold hands.
That was awful.
Yes.
That was awful.
And we can drink a Coke or something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, we did cover, this is important, the ex-Jesuit named Chiniquy. We covered his testimony, particularly about his attorney, who happened to be none other than Abraham Lincoln, and that his death issued from a Jesuit order.
That's right. We did that a few weeks ago.
And there's a book out there, and it can be found on the internet, thank goodness, about Chiniquy. I don't know.
Actually, he wrote it.
Oh, this is the book he wrote.
50 years in the Roman Catholic Church.
50 years in the Roman Catholic Church. It's out there. It's like, this is from the 1800s, folks.
Mm-hmm.
You can find it at Bible Believers, I think that's all one word, BibleBelievers.com/Chiniquy.
Yes.
Now, should I tell them how to spell Chiniquy?
Yes, spell Chiniquy.
Yeah, that's C-H-I-N-I-Q-U-Y. C-H-I-N-I-Q-U-Y.
That's right. So really, if you want to know the truth, this is a man that was in the Jesuit order for 25 years
mm-hmm.
and then tried to leave. And we explained all that in a couple of shows back.
He tried to leave and he was, they came after him.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And then they came after his attorney, which was Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
And they ended up killing him.
And they ended up killing him, and that's very sad. And, of course, we already talked about those quotes of the past popes. But why this all happened, I think we're going to get into how the Roman Catholic Church created Islam.
We did that last week.
Or did we do that last week?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You don't remember that.
Yeah, I thought we didn't. Maybe we didn't cover it as much as I thought we should have, because it's highly
interesting.
Yeah,
we saw that last week.
Okay. All right.
And also I wanted to mention, again, as we saw last week, that Chick Publications outlines this, how the Roman Catholic Church created Islam, meticulously well. The Catholic Church handpicked Muhammad as a young boy. You remember now, John.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And set the stage for the Arabs in North Africa to believe a Messiah was coming. So then they would follow him and fight for control of Jerusalem for the Pope while they fought for Jerusalem.
And for those of you that think this is an outrageous statement, just look at the similarity between a burqa and a nun's habit. Now, you pointed that out, which was cool.
I did.
But they decided to keep Jerusalem.
For themselves.
For themselves, the Muslims did, and not turn it over to the Vatican.
Right.
So what does the Vatican do? They organize a group called the Crusaders, and they're formed to fight for the Pope and to keep the Muslims out of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And anyhow, many battles ensued for many years till the Turks finally gained control of that region in 1517.
That was a remarkable year because that was the same year that Luther's Reformation happened. And needless to say, the Vatican became enraged. And soon the Jesuits were created in 1540 to now fight, but now undercover and deviously.
Well, tonight, aren't we at least going to talk a little bit more about the Islam and the visions at Fatima and the connection to that?
Yeah, we kind of ran out of time last time, so I thought maybe I would kind of at least talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think that's fascinating.
And again, time doesn't allow us to do each of these in full, you know, fulfillment that they should be. I'm just encouraging people to do their own homework, and I'm just, you know, instigating them, and hopefully some of them I'm making mad, because when you're mad, you'll go and try to prove me wrong.
Yes.
And that's okay.
And that is okay.
That's okay.
That is okay. And like you say, if you don't have an internet to get onto, just go to your local public library. They'll even show you how to use it.
Yeah, and you'll have some books there to watch, to look at too. But anyway, not only did Turkey fall to Islam, so did Spain and Portugal. And this, in Portugal, they called this mountain village Fatima in honor of Muhammad's daughter.
Oh, it's in Portugal.
That's right.
Oh, I did not know that.
So, then years later, although the Muslim armies wanted to invade Italy, they really did, the Islamic generals realized that they were just too far extended. So they did agree to some peace talks. And one of the negotiators was Francis of Assisi.
Yes, and that's the saint that Pope Francis said he took his name from.
That's right.
That's what he said.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Francis of Assisi's real middle name was Peter. So it's sort of like he's the last Peter, and we don't want to go there. But anyway, as a result, the Muslims were, so they compromised here. The Muslims were allowed to occupy Turkey in a Christian world at that time, and the Catholics were allowed to occupy Lebanon in an Arab world. It was also agreed that the Muslims could build mosques in Catholic countries without interference as long as the Roman Catholicism could flourish in the Arab countries. And they both agreed to block and destroy the efforts of their common enemy, Bible-believing Christian missionaries.
Wow. So now we see through these concordats, they call them, Satan blocked the Arabs from a knowledge of Scripture and truth.
Right. By infiltrating with Catholicism, which isn't the truth.
You talk about a well executed plan.
Yes. Well, again, you have to look at the source. Who's the power behind the people?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the people, it's the power behind.
That's right.
Not that they aren't a willing vessel, and it's because not studying the Word of God to give you discernment. And that's what we're seeing a lot today. That's why people really form their own opinions, won't even sometimes look at the evidence, because the enemy is telling them, who is speaking to their mind because they're not in the Word and don't have the mind of Christ, telling them what to do. And so they're thinking, oh, I think this and I think that. And they don't realize who's telling them to think that.
Mm-hmm.
It's really amazing.
Well, that's true. We have a tendency, I think, to think things, we call it wishful thinking, to imagine how we really think it is.
Yes.
And actually, if you look at real history and you start learning this stuff, you see that we've really had the wool pulled over our eyes for a long time, unfortunately.
So I think we're going to take a quick break and do that beautiful song that we haven't done in a while.
Which one was that?
Someday.
Someday.
Can you do that one?
Yeah. I like that song.
And when we come back, we will get into a little bit more about this Fatima thing.
Okay.
And hopefully have time to even talk about the Titanic.
Yes.
Okay, let's take it away.
Someday. Father.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. Thank you for staying with us, listening to that song with us. That was Los Lobos, Someday. And we have some information we'd like to tell you about. We should say that we do have a caller on the line. I want to remind
you. Yes, as soon as we're done here, we'll get
Okay, we'll get right to that caller.
So hold on.
Yep. So if you have a question for Sheila or maybe like would like her to speak to your church or church group, first thing we recommend you do is that you tell your pastor to go on our website and check us out first. And then just email Sheila. Her email is sheila@shofarministries.net. Okay?
Yes, that's good.
Okay.
Anyway, your donations are very vital to keeping this program on the air. And they're still tax deductible. So if you like this program and if you are being blessed and learning from our teachings, then please consider being a contributor of any gift or perhaps a monthly sponsor.
That's good. And you can send your love offering to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. That's Box 513 in Burton, Ohio. Or on our web homepage, there is a Partner With Us button on the left side. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter, so be sure you include your email or house address.
Mm-hmm. And you can pledge tonight if you'd like to. Just call 888-677-WORD and tell Kaylin your information.
Okay, yeah, and just a reminder, too, that all newsletters and our previous radio programs are archived there on shofarministries.net for your studies. And, of course, phone lines are open. We do have a caller. Oh, I should mention that first Friday in every month.
That's right. We're at Chesterland.
Chesterland.
Okay. Jack, thanks for holding the line, and I want to recognize you. And how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you, when Benjamin Netanyahu said he wanted to rebuild the Temple Mount, he mentioned we have a slight problem, and he mentioned the word Musk, and I wondered if you could explain that to me.
I sure can. Many years ago, the Muslims put a mosque on the Temple Mount, and everyone believes that it's right at the same spot that the Solomon's Temple or Herod's Temple was also. Now, I happen to believe that they could put the temple up next to the mosque because I don't think that really is the actual spot. I think it's over to the right a little bit for a lot of reasons. But he says that because most people think it's where the mosque is, and so therefore people say, well, the mosque has to come down or there'll be an earthquake to get rid of it so that they can build the temple. But I happen to think that the mosque might very well stay. I think the Catholic Church will probably put a Catholic Church up there as well. I've been up there 4 times, and it's plenty big. And so they can have the temple, and they can have the Catholic Church, and they can keep their mosque so that all three major religions can be on the Temple Mount, and it will be internationally run and I think controlled by the Vatican. So that's what he was talking about. But like I say, the temple is going to be built, and whether somehow they do remove the mosque, which I doubt, but I think it'll be going up probably as soon as we leave. It'll only take 6 months to do it.
When they do rebuild the Temple Mount, some people say the Antichrist will move in and defile it. Is this true?
That is absolutely true. By the way, the Temple Mount is there. It is the temple that they're going to build on the mount that's already there. But yes, of course, according to Scripture, in Revelation and in Daniel, he is going to sit in the temple in the middle of the tribulation period. So three and a half years in, he will do the abomination of desolation. That will actually be the signal for the Jews to split, and they will go down into the wilderness. And those that are saved by that time because of the war of Gog and Magog, he will protect down in the wilderness, probably in the same area where he protected him many years ago during the Exodus time.
I know they say the Antichrist will have a head wound, and he'll heal himself and claim to be the Messiah, but he'll be the false Messiah.
Absolutely right, Jack. You're absolutely right.
And do you think going to the moon and Mars is creating this wacky weather we're having in Cleveland?
I'm not sure. That's a good question. You never know.
Because I'm 67. My birthday was the 29th of January, and I can't remember it being this wacky.
Well, we were just talking about that on the way here, and we thought, gosh, yeah, we've had some other big, heavy snows, and I think 75
yeah.
somewhere.
I don't think we've ever had the low temperatures, the below zero, near zero temperatures for as long as we did.
Well, I don't know. If it's one of those signs that we're at the end, then it's okay with me because I'm anxious.
Yeah.
I know. I can't wait till I get raptured and I can see my mother and sister up in heaven.
That's right. That's right. So anyway, Jack, thank you. Got to run. And thank you for calling. And God bless you.
Okay.
All right. Let's get on with our program.
I think we should have asked him if he was a regular listener. It sounded like he is.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he is.
Well, happy birthday, Jack, too.
That's right.
Yeah. That's a 67's a big one. Oh, yeah.
I'm not even going to go there right now.
Yeah.
All right. So we've been talking about the Jesuits.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw how Satan actually was able to block the Arabs from the knowledge of the real truth in Scripture.
Yes.
And the Vatican also engineers a campaign of hatred between the Arabs and the Jews.
Mm.
Actually, before all this, they did coexist peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
Later, as we see, probably in the 40s, in the 50s, they would do the same thing in Israel. The Arabs and Israel actually coexisted peacefully.
Well, yeah.
And then there were certain elements that came in to try to cause chaos.
Mm-hmm.
So The Islamic community looks on Bible-believing missionaries now as the devil who brings poison to the children of Allah.
Yeah, and this kind of explains why a lot of missionaries have gone into this region in these countries and have had very little success.
I know, and the reason that a lot of Muslims are getting saved right now, though, is because of Joel, I think it's chapter 2, that talks about how the men will see visions in that.
Yes.
And they are seeing them.
They are seeing visions of
yeah. Jesus
yeah.
and getting saved. So, praise God.
Praise God.
Now, the next plan of the Vatican, now back then, okay,
mm-hmm.
was to control Islam. Now, we're talking about 1910, which I think is pretty more recent. You know, it's only 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Portugal at that time was going socialistic and with increasing numbers against the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
So the Jesuits had a plan to involve Russia with the location of a vision at Fatima, which would, by the way, play a key part in pulling Islam to the Mother Church.
The Mother Church. Don't you think it's kind of interesting how the Roman Catholic Church calls itself Mother Church? And so does Revelation.
Yeah. You mean like chapter 17, the Mother of Harlots?
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, lo and behold, in 1917, they thought they were seeing the Virgin Mary appearing in the sky over this region called Fatima in Portugal. And it was a smashing success, playing to overflow crowds. They saw what I think, and what most Bible believers say, was actually a dancing sun or solar storms, which happens about every 11 years. And then there was Jesuits planted in the crowds yelling that they could see the Virgin Mary. Now, again, please do your own homework, but I believe the devil himself literally aided in this charade.
Hmm. Wow. But we know it wasn't God.
Well, it could not have been God.
It couldn't have been God. And simple. The reason is simple, too, because the messages were all about worshiping Mary and her blessed heart.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed
heart of Mary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And not about worshiping Jesus. Yeah.
That's right.
So
then the third message of Fatima was actually that Russia would be converted to Catholicism. And, of course, that was the goal that the Vatican wanted, of course.
Hmm. Yeah, because they used to have Russia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They want it back.
And then there was a split, right.
Yeah.
So the socialists of Portugal suffered a major defeat. Roman Catholics worldwide, because of all this, then began praying for the conversion of Russia, since they had that third promise, you know.
Yes.
And the Jesuits invented the novenas to Fatima, which they could perform throughout North Africa, spreading good public relations to the Muslim world.
Yeah, and didn't they think, the Arabs, didn't they think they were honoring the daughter of Muhammad, because that was her name, right?
That's right. And that's what the Jesuits wanted them to believe. And, of course, there were these three children that said they saw images and were given these secrets, of which the third one was partly that Russia would be converted to Catholicism, mm-hmm. and the rest has not been revealed for some reason. No one will reveal it.
Hmm.
None of the popes will.
Well, there's a lot of information out there, really a mountain of it, that you can glean from on this
right.
On this
I'm just
subject.
Really touching the very surface.
Yeah, just scraping the surface on this one.
But what's interesting, though, as a result of the vision of Fatima, Pope Pius XII ordered his Nazi army to crush Russia and the Eastern Orthodox religion and make Russia Roman Catholic. Again, the Eastern Orthodox broke away from the Roman Catholics, and so they've been trying to punish them ever since.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But a few years after World War II, Pope Pius XII startled the world with another of his dancing sun vision to keep Fatima in the news. And, of course, it was great religious show business, and the world really swallowed it.
Yeah, and see, now I remember, it seems to be that, reading this, that Pope Pius, wasn't he the only one that saw this vision?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And as a result, a group of followers has grown into what they call the Blue Army worldwide, totaling millions of faithful Roman Catholics, really ready to die for the Blessed Virgin.
Blue Army. Blue Army. Can you elaborate on that?
Oh, I sure can. The Blue Army was founded in 1946 by Father Colgan of New Jersey.
Oh, no.
Yes.
New Jersey. Really?
Father Colgan had fallen seriously ill, and he prayed to Our Lady of Fatima that if she could cure him, he would spend the rest of his life spreading devotion to her. He attributed his recovery to his prayers and began preaching to his congregation on a regular basis about the Virgin Mary. But we haven't seen anything yet. The Jesuits have their Virgin Mary scheduled to appear another four or five times in China and in Russia and a major appearance in the United States.
So what's the what connects this to Islam?
I can give you an example of what Bishop Sheen said. Do you remember him? He was a on radio and TV.
I think I watched maybe a rerun.
When I was a youngin.
A rerun. He was very popular. I know this from a, my wife's mother, that she was a big fan.
He was easy to listen to. Right.
Yeah.
And I remember listening to him when I, as a child, like I say, you know, I came from a Catholic family. But he said this. He said, Our Lady's appearances at Fatima marked the turning point in the history of the world's 350 million Muslims.
Oh.
You see, after the death of his daughter, Muhammad wrote that she was the most holy of all women in paradise next to Mary.
Oh, boy.
So you see that connection there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still there.
It is still
there.
They
adore Mary, yes.
Oh, yes, and I heard recently that it is still there, that that's one of the requirements of the Islam faith is to, you have to believe in the Virgin Mary.
And so Bishop Sheen goes on to say that he believed that the Virgin Mary chose to be known as Our Lady of Fatima as a sign and a pledge that the Muslims who believe in Christ's virgin birth will come to believe in his divinity as well. So, again, he was trying to combine the two. Remember, I'm sure he knew that the Catholics actually created Islam. So when they separated over Jerusalem, ever since they've been trying to pull them back in, which is probably why I think it was Pope John that actually kissed the Quran. Remember, you saw that picture?
Yes, you showed me that.
And they say that Muslims worship the same God. Again, they're trying to bring them back into
from
the
that,
fold.
That Vatican catechism, I think. Is it, was that what you called that book you had? That,
yes, it's a catechism.
Catechism. Mm-hmm. But
it's all the rules in there.
And it had all the, it said that Islam was, we worship the same God or the Catholics.
Yes. You know, yeah. Well, and now we have the Pope saying atheists can go to heaven too. So I guess it doesn't matter. Everybody's going. So, but anyway, Bishop Sheen, I just wanted to say one more point. He also said that the pilgrim virgin statues of Our Lady of Fatima were enthusiastically received by Muslims in Africa, India, and elsewhere.
Really?
And that many Muslims are now coming into the Roman Catholic Church.
Wow.
Yes.
And of course, we don't want to get that confused with the Coptics, which are the Eastern Orthodox who broke away from the Roman Catholic Church in, way back in the 11th century.
Right, and they're, of course, the ones that are in Egypt. And I think it's interesting that it is noted that we've had a lot of Christians being killed in Egypt, and a lot of the Coptics especially.
Especially.
But very little Roman Catholics.
Very few, yes.
So, but anyway, Roman Catholic Church is not happy that you know, this was a breakaway, and again, they're not speaking out about these persecutions that are going on right now in Egypt.
No, that's a silence.
They're just not saying anything.
There's a lot of media silence.
And, you know, the Protestants aren't saying a lot either.
Yeah.
It's really disgusting.
I think they're afraid to because they don't want to be confused with Roman Catholicism, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
But
It's really a sad situation.
I think we have enough time. I'd like to finish up tonight about the Titanic because this is, I'm telling you people, you will not believe what I'm going to tell you next. If you do not check this out, I absolutely do not know what to tell you. And then if we have time, we'll take the caller, but let me try to get through this, okay?
Okay.
The Titanic was built to be sunk. In 1910, seven men of the Rockefeller's empire met on Jekyll Island, what a name, to discuss a central bank in America, just like the Bank of the Vatican, so that they could draw money from to finance the coming wars and other things. They, led by the Jesuit general, wanted a bottomless reservoir.
Of course, because they were financing both sides of these wars.
That's right. Now, the Rothschilds were the banking agents for the papacy. The Morgan family, J.P. Morgan, out of London would soon join in. And then these three families would do the bidding of the Jesuits and go on to create the Federal Reserve Bank.
Yes, but there was a glitch they had to remedy first, right?
That's right. Remember, besides the Counter-Reformation, the higher-level Jesuits' goal is to destroy constitutional liberty in America and to bring in the Pope to world domination.
That's right.
There had to be a secret bank to financially bring us down. Now, we're seeing the fruits of this. But certain very rich and powerful men at that time said, no way, there's not going to be any central bank. So Satan had to come up with a plan so preposterous that no one would suspect it was murder, and certainly not by the Jesuits, who ordered J.P. Morgan to build this so-called unsinkable Titanic ship. Many were invited for a free cruise vacation, and some actually had to be coaxed.
Yes, but all in all, the men that the Jesuits wanted to get rid of were aboard that ship.
Unbelievable. Anyway, Ed Smith was an experienced captain on those waters and worked for Morgan for many years. He was also a Jesuit coadjutor. In other words, he worked for the Jesuits. He was called a Jesuit of the short robe. In other words, he wasn't a priest.
Did he take the fourth vow?
I think so.
He would have had to do this, right?
Yeah, I would say so. Now, Father Brown, who was Ed's master, the captain's master or the Jesuit master, was aboard and brought people with him. But how convenient that he departed the ship at their last scheduled stop on the coast of Queenstown.
Okay, so Captain Ed was given his orders, and it's all about obedience in the Jesuits.
That's right. If you read the fourth vow, you know what I'm talking about.
It's all about obedience, and he obeyed.
And he was even speeding and had many telegraphs telling him to slow down, but did not, and hit that iceberg. Now, only women and children could get into the unusually fewer lifeboats, by the way.
Yeah, that was kind of, that should have been a flag there too, right?
That's right. So the men would perish, and instead of red flares saying that there was a disaster and that they should be helped, Captain put white flares up saying everything was okay. They were just stopped for a party, more or less. So this floating palace was created to be the tomb for the wealthy that would not want the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, they opposed the Federal Reserve.
And that's it.
And they're...
And in 1913, which is just a few years later, or maybe the next year, the Federal Reserve System came into being. And 8 months later, the Jesuits had sufficient funding to begin World War One, which was majorly between the Serbs and the Croatians, which were Catholic.
So the Serbs were Eastern Orthodox.
That's right.
Croatians, Roman Catholic.
That's right. But we're running out of time, and the caller, I will take your call as soon as I'm done. We'll just talk one-on-one. And next week, we will actually talk a little bit more about this World War One and who instigated and why and what happened.
Yes, another history lesson. Well, listen, listeners, if you've been listening to our program and you have not made Yeshua, Jesus, Lord over your whole life, and you just have a head knowledge of him and you don't really have that heart conviction, we recommend that you just pray. Get on your knees and pray, actually. And while you're down there, just repent of those individual sins that are keeping you in bondage. You know what they are. God knows what they are. Then commit your life to Yeshua. He's your Savior. As a matter of fact, he's a Savior of the whole world. And there is nothing that will separate you from him. when you take him and receive him as your Savior. Remember, it's always your choice of where you spend eternity. God doesn't send people to hell. We all decide that. He lets that decision up to us. So our soul never dies. And tonight you can decide where you want to spend eternity, and you can have a real peace in these turbulent times that we talk about so often.
That's right.
But then again, you got to make that decision.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you just fulfill the Great Commission. Do what Jesus told us to do. Go and tell others that Jesus loves them and wants them as one of his own. For judgment is very near. And again, if you're Catholic or a Muslim, please look at the evidence. Please find out for yourselves. And then get out of her before it's too late.
Yes. Okay. Well, we're going to leave you tonight with the Aaronic blessing. Yevarechacha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav v'lecha, V'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's from Numbers 6:22. And remember, mark your calendars for the first Friday of every month at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland at 7 p.m.
And be sure you join us next week, same time, Tuesday at 8 p.m. And until then, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper.
Not maybe.
And that's Psalm 122:6. Until next week, Shalom.
Until next week, Shalom.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.